Thank you. Thank you. I do appreciate your prayers. I know he's having me get up here a little more often and try to help him out. I'm trying to do my best to fill in where I can. I know he's been doing that. Are you doing it tonight? Even so, the more? Plan on doing. Even so, the more? You doing that tonight?
Next week.
No. Next week. Okay. Yeah, I know he's been taking that on, so he's got a lot he's trying to study for and be prepared for. So, like I said, I'll try to help out where I can. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I'll try to get into the thought I have for tonight, this evening. Dear God, we thank you for bringing us here again this evening, allowing us to all get here safely and in good health. And I pray that you just bless each of the help each prayer request that's been mentioned. And I pray you just encourage, help each one. Pray you'd help me with this message this evening, that be able to speak clearly and get the thought across without any confusion, be a help and a blessing to those listening. Pray you use me and help me. And I pray you just give us good evening, and we'd honor and glorify you in all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. I know I'll probably mention this often, but it does help challenge me to study more and get in God's Word more, getting up here and doing this. And sometimes I kind of just trying to pray and figure out what God would have me speak about, and there's a lot of things in that I'm studying. God gives me thoughts, but I definitely need a lot more studying and preparing for those before I ever try to bring them before you all. But some of the things that I try to deal with, a lot of y'all have been here longer than I have even been alive, so I kind of wonder, like, what can I say that can teach or help them? I've all been here, experienced more, and been Christians longer and different things. But when I try to get a message together, so a lot of times I'm preaching to myself, and just pray that God can use it. And I'm sure there's others probably struggling in the same areas that need help, whether it's just a better understanding or if it's just somewhere like this evening that I'll be speaking about that we just need to grow stronger in and be better in. And hopefully it'll be a blessing, a help to you, a challenge. Like I said, it is something that I need to work on myself and that I want to try to be better in, and pray that you will be want to be better in as well. I'll open up with Luke chapter 11. Once you get into the chapter, it's dealing with the Lord's Prayer. But I just wanted to open up with the first verse here, and then I'll jump to the more familiar passage in Matthew 6, dealing with the Lord's Prayer. But in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, and it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray." So that's going to be my thought tonight, and a lot of the passages I'm going to have you turn to, look at, will be Jesus speaking or Jesus praying. And so, as I said, we'll start in Matthew 6, very familiar. This chapter here, Luke 11, had the Lord's Prayer in it, but we're all familiar with Matthew 6, and so I want to go there to really get into him teaching about praying. Matthew chapter 6, he's dealing first couple verses about giving your alms and not being like the hypocrites. In verse 5, he gets into praying. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt be as shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now, I know these verses here are dealing a lot with not being prideful, not praying out and open as the public, trying to get attention. And the Bible tells us here that if you do that, that's your reward. The attention you're getting, the praise you might get, whatever, the pride that you get from it, that's going to be your reward. No, don't expect anything from God. Praying that way. But he tells us here that when you pray, to do it in secret. Go to closet. Pray in secret, and the Father, pray to the Father, and he'll hear you. And he'll reward you. I mean, I think the last time I was up here, I dealt with laying up treasures in heaven and not seeking after the treasures of earth. And it's kind of one example here of the hypocrites who seeking rewards here on earth rather than laying up treasures in heaven. But if we look throughout the Gospels, that we look at the different instances about Jesus' ministry, we can see him using this this practice here of praying in secret, praying alone very often. We can go to several references. There's a lot of references, so I don't want to take the time to turn to all of them, but I'll go through and mention them to you. Matthew 14, 23 is after the feeding of the 5,000. It says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountains apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone." Luke 5, 16 tells us, after that instance of the crowd going away or being around a crowd, it says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." Mark 1:35 says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place." A solitary place, and there prayed. So we see by his example, not only did he tell us not to do it publicly, but for reward's sake, for pride issues or whatever, but also to go and to a solitary place. He showed us, by example, he went to the mountains, went to the wilderness, found a solitary place that where he can get alone, away from the distractions, away from even the cares of the world, just try to get into a place with quiet and where he can really pray and speak to God. And this last verse I read is definitely one that I would need more help in and practicing in, is that in the morning, rising up a great while before day. I'm not a morning person, so I mean, that's kind of a hard thing for some of us to do, getting up early, but it tells us, I mean, Daniel's a good example, tells us he prayed morning, noon, and night, and so there's, but the point here, like I said, getting alone and getting a hold of God and not get away from the distractions of the world. Now, I'm learning a lot of things studying, and I'm trying to put together messages and stuff, and I know there's a lot of ways preachers preach with giving illustrations. Some are use comedy or whatever it may be, and I know Papa preaches sometimes preaches against alliterations and all that stuff. I know sometimes it works out, but I try to do a little bit of almost have like an ABC thing going for ways how to pray, and I'm learning that doing that type of thing, doing the alliterations or whatever it may be, you kind of try to make God work around that pattern or whatever you're trying to make, that form you're trying to do. You're trying to make God's word or the Holy Spirit fit into your alliterations, you know. So it don't really work that way if you're going to let the Holy Spirit work and speak. I started going through the ABCs, praying alone, praying, believing, compassionately, and just trying to make the verses and everything fit into that. But like I said, you can't. It's kind of hard to do that and allow the Holy Spirit to really move and speak freely through you if you're trying to conform them to that alliteration or whatever it is. But so I wanted to take a few of these references here of Jesus speaking, the main one being found here in Matthew 6. I mean, his whole purpose here is teaching us how to pray. And we see here, first of all, he tells us to pray alone, not to do it pridefully in public. But let's continue on. Verse 7 tells us, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." And if you look at another example of when Jesus prayed, a well-known prayer is when he goes to pray in Gethsemane, just before he is crucified. And if you read it, he leaves his disciples there, he goes and prays and comes back, finds them sleeping. And he does this two or three times. And it says after the third time, it actually says that he, let me find the reference real quick so I don't kind of tell you what it, show you what it says here. It's in Luke. Mark 14:32. Let's turn there real quick. Matthew 14. All right, Matthew 14:32, and he came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I shall pray." And he taketh them with him, Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch." And he went forth a little and fell on the ground and prayed, if it be possible, the hour might pass from him. And like I said, this happened two, three times. Verse 39, it says, and again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. So you see here that he spake the same words. He's asking God to take the cup from him. Nevertheless, thy will be done. But when it's dealing here with the vain repetitions, again, it's dealing with the hypocrites, the heathens. They're trying to much speaking. They're just wanting to be heard. Their repetition isn't an earnest repetition of prayer and seeking after God. It's just a repetition of being wanting to be heard. It's vain. There's no feelings or meaning behind it. There's no purpose behind it. It's just, as I said, just to be heard or to be have that vain repetitions of just saying empty words. So we know it's not just repeating the same words, because the Bible just said that Jesus, third time saying the same words, but his repetition was sincere. He's bleeding drops of, as if it were drops of blood. He had the heaviness and sorrow. He's bringing his cares and petitions to God, and so it wasn't vain in any way of his repetitions. So it just tells us here we need to be alone, not be prideful, not to have empty words of repetitions or of just without meaning. And verse 8 tells us, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth the things that ye have need of before ye ask them. So he knows what you need, and knows the desires, and it tells us at the end of the chapter, actually, that in the same chapter, Matthew 6, the very last verse tells us, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient today is the evil thereof. And the previous verses to that, just talking about how God knows the hairs of your head, how he takes care of the lilies of the field, and the sparrow, and he'll take care of you, and he'll meet your needs. So he knows, and that, like I said, there's many verses I can reference and go to, talking about how he knows what we need before we ask them, but we still need to, just because he knows all things, again, like I said, I'm speaking to myself about this. Sometimes we get the idea of, well, he knows all things. He knows the people better than I do, what they're going through, what they need. And so you kind of don't really enter in, like Papa always challenges us to enter in to what the people are facing, what they're feeling, what they're dealing with. And that can be considered vain repetition. I mean, you're just repeating the names that are mentioned on the prayer list, or repeating the names that's mentioned to you from someone, without actually having the compassion behind it, or the desire to really seek God for those problems and prayers that you're trying to bring before him. It's something we, like I said, we all need to work on, just not to get in those. And I know too, we keep a prayer list on the board, blackboard back there, and for Sunday school, it seems like some of those names have been on there ever since I started teaching Sunday school. Getting that repetition of praying for the same people over and over again, and again, it just gets you in that that vain repetition kind of spirit, where you're not really thinking about or genuinely compassionate about the things you're praying for. You're just kind of doing it out of habit, repetition, what's being prayed for week after week. And the Bible tells us not to be like that, not to not to do, have that type of prayer, that we need to have the compassion for the things we're praying for. And the Bible tells us there's many things to show that compassion of things that we need to pray for. Again, I'll give you a couple references. We can't take the time to turn to all of them, but Matthew 19:13 tells how Jesus prayed for the children and blessed them. Matthew 4:38, or it might be 9:38. Sorry, I can't read my writing. But he tells us how the field is plenteous, but the laborers are few, to pray for the laborers. A very hard one to practice, showing compassion, praying for others, is Matthew 5:44, and he actually tells us to, I'll just turn back to that one. I have Matthew 5:44. By saying, you love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. I mean, that's got to take a lot of compassion there, and heartfelt prayer to pray for someone you don't like, that or that or mistreats you or treats you wrong. But the Bible tells us to do it, and we need to do it in the right spirit. And obviously, we're to pray with the Holy Spirit, and I could tell you those verses too. But how He helps us with words we can't utter, He'll speak on our behalf and help us with the prayers. But in the doing the prayer, praying, we need to do our part in trying to enter in to a true prayer of compassion and seeking after God and looking to Him for answers and help in our lives. And a very good passage, pretty much the whole chapter this is all, the whole chapter is Jesus praying in John 17. It's 26 verses, but I challenge you to read that chapter. It's pretty much the whole chapter is Jesus praying, and most of it He's praying for us, praying that God protects us, keeps us from temptation, helps us to grow, to be sanctified, that protect us, watch over us. Like I said, that's, and we know, obviously, that Jesus had compassion for the world, and he wants to see the world saved. But here, it tells us He's. I'm praying not for the world at this time, but verse 9, He says, I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou gavest Me, for they are Mine. And He's talking about how He prays that the Father keep them and protect them, help them. And like I said, He's praying for us. I just challenge you to read that chapter. Sometimes talking about showing how much love Jesus has for us and how He wants us to grow and be closer to Him and to the Father, and how He prayed for us, that He prayed for us to be able to overcome the world, to grow spiritually, to grow, be sanctified. And so, again, we know Jesus is our best example, one we're trying to live up to live, to be more like, and He shows us how we should pray for, how He prayed for us, and He tells us that we should pray for others, pray for each other, and he warns us in the last days about edifying and building each other up, and pray in. Again, I got a couple of verses here I can just mention to you. Like I said, we don't have time to turn to all of them, but he tells us to pray without ceasing. In the last days, he tells us to watch and pray. So he tells us to be diligent in our prayer, not only to get alone and get away from the distractions, but to be diligent about it. Like I mentioned before, Daniel praying morning, night, morning, noon, and night. There's a passage in here that I had using, like I said, I wanted to use Jesus as our example. He is our ultimate example, and a lot of these are his prayers of where how he went out into the mountain and prayed and wilderness and prayed. But there's one, I mentioned the one where he rose up early in the morning before day to go pray. But there's also another one in Luke 5, Matthew. I believe this is the one I wanted. In Luke 5, in verse 16. Nope, that's the one where he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Hold on, I can grab it real quick. It was Luke. What did I just say? Luke 5. So it's the Luke 6. Luke 6:12. Yep. Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray again. He went out alone to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. So, I mean, that's some diligence there. He just prayed without ceasing. He needed help from God, and he went out and prayed all night. And again, I know that something I need to work on, and I know I try to pray as often as I can. I know Papa mentions even like saying a small prayer of when you find something, like, thank you, Lord. I mean, that's constantly having him in your mind and just praying to him, thanking him for the small things, just whatever it may be. If you need help finding something, Lord, help me with this, or deal with this, or whatever it may be. But there's times when we need to get alone and just pray more than just a quick prayer of, Lord, help me with this, or thank you, Lord, for that. And we actually need to get alone and spend all night if we have to. I know, I think that's, he's mentioned it before, that's how he was surrendered and called to preach, sitting there in his basement praying all night, just praying, asking God, and then finally surrendering and being called to preach. And it doesn't have to be it could be anything, really. If we're praying for a lost loved one, praying for what God would have us do for in our lives, for someone who's close, that's not saved, to or going through a hard time, sickness, or whatever it may be. And that's part of having that compassion in or in, and just taking the time to really pray for someone. I mean, sometimes you might start out not feeling like praying, being too tired or whatever in the morning, but if you just work on being consistent and just sticking with it and getting away from the distractions and just really trying to seek after God, the Bible tells us if you seek him, you will find him. And sometimes it takes time, and we need to have that zeal, that drive to really want to take the time to get an answer or to seek God and to hear from God and to actually get our prayers heard. I know there's a lot of other things that can hinder our prayers, but I think sometimes it's just a matter of not taking the time to pray. So we need to be diligent and earnest about our prayers. Bible tells us, 1 Thessalonians, to pray without ceasing and to constantly be in prayer about everything. I mean, if we're wanting to please God and to do His will, we need to be in His Word and we need to pray constantly. The Bible tells us when after Jesus healed Lazarus, we need to pray. Believing that God will hear our prayers. I don't have the reference here right off. Like I said, I have so many references that kind of got some of them kind of got lost in the notes here. But he was before he raised Lazarus, he prayed to God and pretty much prayed that he knows that God hears him and will answer him, but he's praying that those hearing might believe. But we need to have that kind of belief, faith, that God hears us and will answer our prayers. There's another passage that deals with that, how if we believe he will answer our prayers. If we have the faith of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. Again, there are so many passages, there's too many to really deal with and keep track of to give you, but a lot of them are familiar of just praying without ceasing and having that faith and believing that God will hear you and answer your prayers and just having that passion. Compassion in your prayers. So Matthew, let me turn back here to Matthew 5 where we were. We know he gives us Matthew 6. He actually goes through, tells us not to pray public or like for show, for recognition. And then he actually tells us how to pray. He gives us the word to say. But there's one, it tells verse 10. That's not where it starts. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our fathers, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I know y'all know the Lord's Prayer, and it's been preached about and dealt with many times. But there's some things he shows us here. Kind of gives an example of things we should pray for, and we should study those things and learn how to pray. But I guess tonight I'm dealing more with the actual action of prayer, of getting alone with God. And like I said, we should study and sit. Learn the things Christ's example here of how we should pray and what we should pray for. But we need to, I know none of that, what you pray for really doesn't really matter if you're not entering into prayer the right way. I mean, you can pray, say whatever you want to say, but if you're not entering in, not doing it for the right reasons, not doing it for the vain repetition, I mean, if you're just doing, having the vain repetitions, if you're just doing it to be seen or heard, then it's not going to matter what you, how you pray. If even if you follow Jesus' example here of the Lord's Prayer, of the things you pray for, if it's not done out of, and Jesus dealt with this with the disciples and about everything they did. I mean, they followed the law to the T, but they didn't do it out of a out of love, out of the heart to please God. And it's the same thing with prayer. If we're not doing it out of the love of our heart, out of wanting to actually get heard by God, to actually get an answer, God, seeking Him, then we're not going to find Him. We're not going to get the answers that we're asking for or seeking. We're not going to get our prayers heard if we're not entering in as we should. And so the Bible tells us that how we should enter into prayer, and one of the things that he kind of dealt with in the prayer and after the prayer is being forgiven. I know if we have sin in our lives, then he's not going to hear us. But he also tells us if that we're not going to get forgiven if we don't forgive others. It tells us in verse 12 that forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then right after the prayer, he says, verse 14, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you, forgive your trespasses. So there's things that we need to prepare ourselves for in order to enter in prayer. And we need to have that right spirit, the right, the compassion, the desire to be seek God and to get prayers answered. But we also need to have our lives clean, no sin, and have the pure hearts that he'd actually hear our prayers. And the Bible tells us, I mean, we can, again, we can ask for forgiveness for all the things that we may need to be forgiven of, but if we're not entering that prayer right to where we've forgiven others, then our prayers won't be heard. So there's a lot of things that we need to take into consideration whenever we're trying to pray, that we need to make sure our lives are right, that we're forgiving others, that we may be forgiven, that are, and that we actually can be heard. Like I said, if we have sin in our lives, then God's not going to hear us. And if we want to be forgiven of those sins, then we'll have to, the Bible says that we'll have to forgive others the wrong they've done us, not hold that grudge or bitterness or whatever it may be. Because in a way, that's, I mean, not only is it hindering us from entering into prayer and being heard, it's also just gives place to the bitterness or whatever it may be that could just hinder us from even going to God. I know a lot of times when things come, people question God, why he allows things to happen, and God doesn't care, and that bitterness and anger just kind of turns them away from God instead of turning them, instead of just forgiving the wrong that's been done to them, or forgiving getting over those things and taking it to God and going to him for help to get help to overcome those things. So just a lot to work on. And I know I didn't really deal with everything that I could have there. Like I said, there's a lot of passages there that could have been referenced, and a lot more. I kind of just got into the really preparing yourself for prayer, but hopefully the little that was said will help us to just examine ourselves, that we are check our lives, that we can come before God, knowing and believing that our prayers can be and will be heard and answered if we truly seek Him and just have that desire to be clean and be heard and to be just come to Him in prayer for whatever need may be, or whatever, just to spend time with Him, really. And it's good to read God's Word, and we all know the kids' song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And we should be growing spiritually, but it also just, it's the whole part of the Christian life, the Christian our relationship with God. It's not a one-sided thing where He just blesses us and helps us live our lives. We have to take time for Him and go to church and read His Word and listen to His Word and pray to Him often. And again, I hope that's a challenge to you. I know it's for me. Like I said, it's something I know I need to work more on, and just trying to get distracted. And the Bible warns us that that's going to happen in end times. You're going to be running to and fro, and got all these cares of the world kind of distracting you and keeping you from the things that should be important in our lives, of reading God's Word and praying and just preparing ourselves to meet Him. And that's why it says to watch and pray. Know that God's that Jesus is coming back someday, and we need to be praying and working on our relationship with Him, that we're close, drawn close to Him, and that we're just growing as we should and be more like Jesus.